Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well. I'm actually quite perky. Well, I woke
are you
up,
perky today? Well, why are you perky
I
today?
Don't know. I woke up feeling quite sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually the sluggishness wore off.
So we could call you Lockdown Lil.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw on Twitter that myself and my new husband were playing cafes at the weekend.
So, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so I was the KP.
Is this broadcastable?
Yeah, I was the KP and the chef and the waiter.
Right.
And he was the customer.
Right.
And we did the full English. I said, all right, you know, do you want to sit there, sir? And all that.
So why were you doing this?
Because we can't go out.
Oh, I see. So you're pretending you're out.
Yeah, we're playing.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then...
I tell you what, though. I did see a picture of your breakfast.
Yeah.
And I was somewhat amused that you had 4 fried eggs.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that.
Is there? Yeah. You're greedy?
No, there's a very good reason. One normally has 2.
Yeah, exactly.
One gets very uppity if one's given... One.
Yeah, yeah.
When one's outside. But I broke one. You know how sometimes they crack?
Oh, do you know?
And nobody would want the broken one.
Do you know?
I just kept going.
I was making myself scrambled egg. I had scrambled egg and salmon for lunch the other day. And I had 2 eggs in my hand and a pot of, and the pot that I was going to crack them into.
Yeah.
And one of them slipped out of my hand. And when I went to catch it, I dropped the other one, so I dropped both of them on the floor.
So the dog was really happy.
Yeah, well, the dog wasn't there, but yeah.
But this is why, the only reason we have a dog, really, just to hoover up. So what did you do with it on the floor?
Well, I just scraped it up and threw it away.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, what else am I going to do with it?
I would have put it in the dog's bowl for when the dog returned. And you know that eggshells, Paul Andrews, when I had my broken leg and my bone wasn't mending, it didn't grow for 12 weeks, which was all very dramatic. I was recommended by a naturopath to eat eggshells.
Really?
Because they contain calcium.
Blimey. A bit crunchy and sharp, aren't they?
Yeah, they are a little bit. But if you have a little bit...
Don't fancy that.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I ate them diligently.
Did you?
Yeah.
Diligently?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then my bone...
I've never had that. Eggs diligently.
Yeah.
I've had eggs benedict.
Oh, I do love an eggs benedict, don't you?
I've not had an eggs diligently.
It's quite laborious to whip up, isn't it? That's why I like restaurants to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we played cafes.
Right, okay.
And then on Saturday night, we played really going out. So we got totally dressed up. We lit candles, put nice togs on.
Right.
I put full makeup on. And we did a lovely, lovely meal with, a bit of jam. Jazz playing, and we played restaurants.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you have?
I had some Aldi champagne because cheap. We had chicken livers actually, very healthy. Piled. See, if we were playing restaurants, it was piled atop of something.
Presented in a style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Piled atop.
I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors. We're pleased to partner with leading employment law firm, Locke Associates Group. They'll be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. If you want to find out more about Locke Associates Group, you can go to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk. That's Locke, spelled L-O-C-H. And thank you for supporting us. We really do appreciate it. We've had loads of tweets in so far.
Can you please say Locke?
Lock.
Dr. Finley.
Lock.
Exactly.
We've had loads of tweets in, so do keep your tweets coming. Tweet me at VanillaWeb or tweet her at Jill Serkin and use the hashtag BBunker, please. Otherwise, we won't find your tweets. I've had a lovely tweet from the folks at Michael Park Surveyors. And they say, thank you so much, Paul and Jules. We love your Business Bunker community shout-outs. Thank you, and sending you all the online love we can.
Very touchy-feely, weren't
they? Yeah, it's lovely. Thank you. So that's the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, commercial property consultants and specialists based over in Rochester. MPSL on the Twitter. Give them a follow.
And a big hello to Rockfit with Sarah, who's based in Ramsgate.
Mm.
They were on the show quite a while ago, weren't they, Rockfit? I think a long, long time ago.
Yeah, Sarah's been on a couple of times in different guises. Yeah
in disguise then.
No, in with different organisations.
And hats.
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
So she is, just for those who don't know, Rockfit is, you can find her on at Rockfit Sarah, and based in Ramsgate, but I'm sure she runs around. And she says Rockfit is the new all badass workout to set to rock and metal soundtrack. A combination of rock music, dance, fitness, and some serious body sculpting moves. Well, I'm seeing a bit of probably Led Zeppelin going on there, do you think?
Could be. A bit of hair swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. And a bit of Robert Plant, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
We do like him.
A bit of name dropping here. Not really, because I didn't know him. But
You used to go out with him, did you?
No. A million years ago, I used to share a flat. I had a room in a flat in Kensington, and we were two doors away from Jimmy Page's shop.
Wow.
And he had a magic shop.
Did he?
Yeah. You know, like real magic. Well, not
rabbits coming out.
No. Not magician magic. You know, like pagan Wiccan magic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that is quite spooky, isn't it?
Yeah. Observatory Gardens.
Did you go in?
Yeah, I didn't particularly want to buy anything. I just wanted to see if Jimmy was there, but he never was.
Talking about old, I once got chatted up by Mickey Dolenz.
Did you?
Yeah.
What a monkey.
I was in Trader Vic's at the Hilton.
Yeah.
And I was only about 22. I was quite attractive then. And he was a lot older than me.
I'm pointing at you because, funnily enough.
You're trying to get a word in.
Yeah, no. I'm going to ask you a question.
What about Mickey Dolenz?
Well, kind of. I'm a believer. Monkey song, the Monkey song.
Yeah.
Straight off the top of your head, what year was that released?
65.
You're almost right. Well done, 64.
Oh,
and
God.
I came across that as a fact the other day, and I couldn't believe it. 64. If you'd have asked me, I would have said early 80s. No, it was 64.
Oh, no.
Blimey.
Because I was in Cairo by 76.
Right.
So I know that then my music knowledge stopped.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, for a while. I got more into Om Kulthum.
Right.
Do you know Om Kulthum?
Yeah.
I'll play it for you one day.
Yeah.
It's Allahu Akbar and all that stuff.
The reason I was looking is there was some stupid thing on Facebook that said whatever the number one record was on the 12th of something in the year that you were born is some kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I was looking it up. And 64 came up first, but I was actually... When you were 10, I was 10 in 1965. And on this date that they picked randomly, the number one record was Flowers in Your Hair.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice song as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of it.
But again,
is that Flowers in Your Hair?
Yeah.
Come on, sing it.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to sing it.
Who's it by?
Oh, some obscure mob, isn't it?
Somebody will tweet in there.
But the whole point about that is that that's just such an old song.
I'm just thinking that, is it I'm still picking flowers in the air?
Yeah, that's it.
That wasn't Roy Wood, was it? Or Wizard?
No. They did a version of it, but...
I actually love Roy Wood. I don't think we have enough of Roy Wood.
Do you not?
I really like him. I love his stuff.
I had a chat with Roy Wood.
Did you?
Yeah, in the Hilton, in Maidstone.
So I had Mickey Dolenz in the Hilton.
And I have Roy Wood. Wizard, eh?
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from us. That's the end of our name dropping section.
Do you remember watching, because we were quite young, do you remember watching, I used to sit on my dad's lap eating banana sandwich on a sort of Saturday and watching Mick McManus wrestle and all that when I was quite young.
Oh, yeah.
And, but do you remember watching the Men on the Moon when they landed on the moon?
It was
like phenomenal.
Yeah.
In black and white, wasn't it? And all a bit fuzzy.
No, it's black and white.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And did you have a party line as a phone?
We did actually.
So you'd pick it up. So
and somebody was talking
for
on
youngsters
it.
Youngsters listening, you pick it up, and your neighbour over the road, Hilda, it was in my Hilda Maud, her name. She'd be chatting, and you'd have to quietly put the phone down.
Yeah, until I finished. Yeah,
isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, life moves on. Yeah. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Charity Buddy. And this is Martin, and he said, can I have a shout-out, please, for the awesome Business Bunker show? And also, it's my mum's 85th birthday today. It's going to be a good day, and looking forward to listening in. So a huge, very, very many happy returns to Martin's mum. I hope you have a wonderful birthday, and thank you for the shout-out, Martin. And do give Martin's Twitter handle a follow on Twitter, charity_buddy. So do check them out and give them a follow.
Happy birthday. We do love our mums, don't we?
Yeah.
So Chris Hyde is listening in at CamGenix. You can find him.
Yep.
CamGenix. And he says, I'm a Believer was written by Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
I do love Neil Diamond. He actually puts hairs on my, not my chest, but, you know, as they would say on... what's it called, that Simon Cowell show? Come on.
Well, Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, thank you. They go, oh, you've given me goosebumps, you have.
I've never watched it.
I haven't watched it for years, that's why I can't remember the name. But Neil Diamond does give me goosebumps. Mm. But Chris has said Jules Serkin is singing Flowers in the Rain, by the way, and laughing about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite a good rendition off the top of my head. Tickety boo, don't they do that as well?
Something like that.
In the rain, because it gets more and more sort of ethereal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If that's the right word.
Talking of Chris, I want to tell you about this. We would like to give a mention to Chris's radio station, who, due to the UK coronavirus restrictions, are going to be doing a special programme tomorrow, Wednesday the 11th of November. It's a remembrance programme from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m, and they will be observing the 2-minute silence at 11 a.m. So do support them in that, because that's a wonderful, lovely thing to do. Wednesday the 11th, Remembrance Day. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on soundersspitfire.info to listen in. So do check that out tomorrow. A remembrance special on Sounders Spitfire.
Good idea.
Yeah.
So Chris Hyde has told me who it was singing Flowers in the Rain.
Yeah.
Apart from me, it was The Move. And now I think The Move, because everybody in the 60s was called The Something, weren't they? It was The Beatles and The Move and The Moody Blues. But I think that was Roy Wood. I think Roy Wood.
Yeah, Roy Wood was in The Move. I think we might be talking about different songs.
Maybe I just sang it so badly that Chris can't remember it.
Yeah, no, we...
How many Flowers in the Rain songs are there?
No, you're talking about Flowers in the Rain.
Yeah.
The song that I mentioned was Flowers in Your Hair. Which
does that go?
Well, it was a hippie song from...
it sounds like one.
It was a hippie song from San Francisco.
Oh, so that would be like, if you're going to San
That's the one. That's it.
Be sure some flowers in your hair.
That's the one, yeah.
If you're going...
And that wasn't Roy Wood.
that was a sort of a hippie American chap.
Yeah.
Someone that would have been, you know, geeky, I think, techie.
Yeah.
Probably Silicon Valley, you know, before that started.
Maybe.
First, you know. Could have been a Beach Boy at the beginning.
No, it was none of those. Was some hippie.
Anyway, I do like Roy Wood.
Yeah.
And The Move. So, yeah.
What
Chris
you
Hyde
got?
Is... well, I was just going to say that later on in the show, if you're listening and you can bear to stay with us, we have Matt from Vinters coming on. And we also have the lovely Lisa M. Settle. You'll find her on the Twitter. And Isla, at the Business Diaries. And they're going to be telling us all what's happening in the Business Diaries stories and communities. So
We're going to be hearing from Matt in the first half of the show. And we're going to be hearing from Lisa and Isla in the second half. And sending big love and hugs to Lisa, who got a bit damaged this morning.
Yeah, I just heard.
She hurt her foot.
I think she's probably climbing up a mountain or something. Probably
something like that, yeah. I do know how she did it, but we won't go into that.
I do owe her, if she's listening, I do owe her a breakfast, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, a brunch.
Well, she could probably do with 4 eggs right now and lots of eggshell.
Yeah, well, if she's got a little broken bone, she needs some arsenic. No, arnica.
arnica
for bruising. Did you know, listener, that the SMEs in Kent with ambitions to do business across the channel have the opportunity to take part in a special online conference next week? It's been organised as part of the Innovative Sector Exchange, which is the ISE. Everything has a shortening bit nowadays, isn't it?
Mm.
It's the ISE project, the Innovative Sector Exchange, which provides support to businesses based in Kent. The Hauts-de-France, the East Flanders, the West Flanders and the southwest of the Netherlands. To register with the, that was my little Neverland voice there, to register with the event, which runs from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. and more, please go to natasha.white@kent.gov.uk, or there is a number, so if you get your little stilo ready, it is 00300 421 053. And that's the for SMEs in Kent with ambitions to do business across the channel. I know there were quite a few initiatives like that, weren't there, a while back with Canterbury City Council and Kent County Council, and quite a few grants that were available. And
there used to be a part of Calais area, a chamber thing.
Yeah, and lots of jaunts across the channel, which was great. I don't know whether we can do that at the moment.
Yeah, no, I don't see why. You know, we can't at the moment because of COVID. But, I mean, the fact that we've left the European Union bears no relationship to it at all. There's nothing stopping us doing business with Northern Europe and
exactly
continuing to have those kind of events.
And, may we?
And but I think we should.
What we haven't celebrated on the show, and we're never very political, are we, Paul Anders? We try not to be, but we have to celebrate a new president in the USA, hopefully. They're still counting, and there's going to be probably...
Well, there's been some developments on that this morning.
I know that Mr. Trump's going to...
Yeah, no, well, they've withdrawn some of the votes that he had.
No.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know. I just can't be bothered to watch it anymore. It's just a nonsense,
well,
all
we
of
need,
it.
Well, we need this...
Anyway...
But apparently Melania is on the market again. She's looking for a new husband.
Yeah, don't even go there. Go on, you're trying to get me banned. The lovely folks at Venom Tech have asked for a shout-out. They say, we'd love a shout-out. Our founder, that would be Steve, I would have thought, has had his first book chapter published, Veterinary Treatment for Spiders.
Take your spider.
He said he didn't make the cover, though, but they sent us a picture of the cover, Exotic Pet Medicine. It's the handbook of exotic pet medicine. So if your spider is feeling a tad unwell, you need to read Steve's chapter, because he'll tell you how to treat it if it's got a little bit of a cough or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think spiders can get... I don't think they have a respiratory area. I'm sure Steve at Venom Tech, but I don't think they have lungs and things. There's not enough room in your average spider for a lung, is there?
Who knows? Who knows? But Steve's written a book about treating it.
Well,
or treating illnesses in spiders, in your pet spider.
I wonder whether Adrian Kearney could pick your spider up for you.
Yeah, he could do. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it could be a Mexican red knee that could have a dodgy knee or something, isn't it? It doesn't have to be a respiratory thing.
I tell you what, we've had some big uns in our house lately.
Have you?
Yeah, because we always sleep with our window open, do you?
Do you?
Do you?
Sleep with my window open?
Yeah,
at night. Not sometimes.
You should. Not sometimes.
No, sometimes I do.
We always have our window. I am a 50s housewife.
Yeah.
Always have the windows. And I've gone out today and left all the windows open. The poor husband working from home, he's going to come down from his office and be freezing. But we've had some big uns in the bedroom lately.
Anyway, shall we have some cheesy tunage?
Yeah, let's.
I'm going to play
it. Flowers in the Hair?
No, it's not. I'm going to play this. Yeah, first.
What, and on your banjo? Or?
No. Just shut up and listen. I'm going to play this track, which is you're not going to like.
Oh.
And then you're going to go, what on earth's that all about? And then before I introduce our next guest, I will backtrack over why I played this as cheesy tunage.
Okay.
But...
Making all that noise.
Blimey. Bit of Alice Cooper there. School's out.
You see, not just that, Paul Andrews, not just what you're going to introduce and your cheesy tunage, but of course we were talking about Venom Tech, weren't we?
Mm.
Snakes. Because Alice Cooper always had a little snake
around his neck. It all comes together. Well, let me tell you what was cheesy about that tunage. We're going to hear next from Matt Parkinson, who's the chief executive of IT service company Vinters. And I went to school at a school called Vinters. So school's out.
Yeah,
do you see what I did there?
I do, but I don't think Matt would know about that.
He wouldn't know that.
So it's all about you, really.
Yeah, that is totally about me. It's got nothing to do with Matt because he wouldn't know that because the school isn't there anymore.
Well, did you demolish it?
No. When I went there, it was a boys' secondary school, and now it's a comprehensive, and it's called something like the Happy Valley Community College or something like that. I don't know. Something like that.
Would you send your child to a school called the Happy Valley?
Yeah, it sounds like a Chinese takeaway, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sweet and shower. Would you like pangolin with that, sir?
Yeah, I think it's the Valley Community College, I think is what it's called now.
Or maybe a bat.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we hear from Matt?
I'd love to.
Let's hear from Matt.
Yeah, I would.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show after quite a gap, Mr. Matt Parkinson of Vinters. Matt, welcome back on the show. I'm just trying to remember how long ago it was you were on last. It was quite a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think about this time last year, I think. Mm. So, but thank you for having me again.
No, it's always a pleasure. And obviously, it's a regular slot now, once a year in November time. But you've been up to quite a lot in the intervening time, haven't you? So why don't you kick off by telling us, I know that you've recently gone through a rebranding exercise, and I'm interested in hearing about that. I'm interested in hearing what you've rebranded to, why you decided to do that, and how you felt about, you know, the process of doing it. So maybe you want to kick off with that.
Yeah, certainly. So we were Voo Servers for the best part of 15 years. It was a brand that I came up with while I was just going into sixth form studies, and it's done us a good job, got us a great place, but it still really kind of represented what we started out as 15 years ago.
Right.
So we've decided to rebrand just as Vinters, which is where we're based on Vinters Business Park.
Yep.
So it represents kind of where we are today as a business. And really, I think just kind of gives us a bit of a kind of complete refresh, especially for where we are over the last 6 months, obviously, with the amount of kind of digital transformation that's been going on.
Absolutely.
We just felt it really kind of aligned us with our client base now, where we're looking to go, and really just kind of give us a nice kind of fresh edge, I think.
I want to talk about that realignment later on, if we may, because I think that's an incredibly important point that you've raised, and I think it deserves a bit of discussion in its own right. Obviously, the listeners can't see you, and you're a fresh-faced young man, but you've been in business 15 years, and you were, and I don't mean this in any derogatory sense, a schoolboy entrepreneur. You founded your business while you were still at school, yeah?
Yeah, I think obviously you quite often hear people say my business is half my life. For me, it really is.
Literally is.
It's been quite a journey and changed a lot from where we started. But I don't think when we started out, I really kind of envisioned where we are now.
Right.
And that was really also part of the branding, I think, and the refresh was to really kind of align with. We kind of exceeded the vision that we started out with, and it was really kind of what's our new vision and where are we going kind of over the next 15 years.
Yeah, because you've innovated quite a lot over those 15 years, haven't you, and added services and different things that you've done.
Yeah, so when we started out, cloud wasn't even a term that existed. Mm. And what we did was really just based on providing servers. So our kind of name, the original name, Voo Servers, was really kind of did what it said on the tin.
Yeah.
As we kind of moved on and cloud services came around and we kind of branched out into more and more different IT services, specifying just servers wasn't really just what we did anymore. So that was part of the reason.
Let's cover that because for those that don't know you, let's talk about what you actually do because you've got a very substantial company there.
Yeah, so we started out really just providing servers that you could rent to people, so very similar to the kind of cloud model.
Was that server space or servers that you just implemented on somebody's premises?
So we would go and buy the hardware, we'd go and purchase all the network, and we'd acquire a space, traditionally actually in London Docklands, that we installed that into. And then we rented that out to someone who would use it for their own, running their own company. So Very similar to kind of the cloud model that exists now, but before it really became cloud, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So you were renting space in things like Telehouse or places like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we've been in a fair few different telehouses over the years, yeah. And moved around the country a fair bit as part of that as well. So, but yeah, it's kind of scaled from there really to where it is now.
So your original business model was renting out server space. How did you progress from there? Take us through the journey of how you've built the business.
Yeah, so I think what we started to do was concentrate on a bit more managed services. So rather than just providing a customer with that bare metal server, we actually went as far as installing software onto it and providing that as a full service to the customer.
Right.
So again, before Office 365 came around, we would quite often sell email accounts and web hosting and just file storage as well. So we kind of transitioned through to that, doing very similar services to Office 365. Right. And then we kind of changed further. So we now do a lot of Oracle database services, which is really big, kind of particularly in public sector. And we do a lot of kind of platform now. So we have quite a few companies that run software services, and we provide the platform that sits on.
Right.
So now the core of what we do as a business is really kind of a fully managed and integrated kind of infrastructure platform.
Right.
So that really what a company gets from us is they concentrate on running their product and their business, and we concentrate on delivering all of the IT infrastructure for that.
Absolutely. And that is a direction that so many organizations are going in. My own organizations included, you know, we've always had our own servers in our own offices. And that's just ridiculous now. We haven't got time to do that any longer. And, you know, so, and as you say, with the advent of the cloud, which kind of formalized that approach to it, if you like, or whether formalized it, but it kind of made it acceptable for everybody, because everybody said, oh, better get in the cloud, because that's what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, and I think certainly one of the transitions that we're seeing is you've seen obviously Amazon and Microsoft form their clouds, and we're starting to see people become a bit more aware of what cloud technology actually is, how it enables a business, and actually starting to reach out to smaller scale cloud providers like ourselves as well.
Right.
But I think although we are small in comparison, we still have kind of that global reach as well.
Yeah. You probably have a US operation, do you not?
Yeah, so we're in New York and Seattle, and then we're in Frankfurt as well, but always looking for other locations as well, I think. So it's odd that working in IT is taking me all over the world, I think. So not something you usually expect.
Yeah, no, but it's the nature of the business, isn't it? We live in a connected world. And, you know, I've often said this when talking to politicians and stuff like that. I don't, you know, sometimes they make muttering noises about what they're going to do this to technology or that to technology. And I go, yeah, but you do realize that a push of a couple of buttons, I could be in Russia or the Bahamas. You know, I mean, it's a global world, and it's globally connected.
Yeah, and I think certainly you've seen an increase on these kind of VPN adverts that have been on TV. Yeah. That are all about kind of anonymizing your location, and it's always a huge business now. It's like worth several hundred million a year, I think, just on VPNs or something now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just for what it's worth, I'm a massive football supporter, and I was chatting to someone online the other night before I was about to go and watch a game, a live game on TV, and I said, "Where are you?" And they said, "Oh, I'm in Spain or something." I went, "Oh, you're not going to be able to watch." And he went, it's not a problem. I've got a VPN. I can get in. Don't worry." So, you know, it just shows you, doesn't it, that you can get around some of these things.
Yeah.
Something you said earlier, Matt, which kind of inspires a conversation, I think, is how technology in general, but I guess the pandemic and the lockdown has been a catalyst for this, is how very quickly we've started to adopt a new way of working. And at the fundamental core of that is technology. So give us some views of, I'd like to understand from your point of view, how the pandemic and the lockdowns affected you as a business, and what you've seen, and then also your thoughts on where we're going with this.
Yeah, I think starting really with how it's affected us as a business, it's back in March, we had, I think, our busiest week that we've ever done in terms of support cases, right. Getting people set up to work from home,
right.
Having discussions with people about how they use IT and work from home that you never thought you'd have.
Yeah.
And then I think really it's just, you've seen just explosive use of technology. I mean,
yeah.
How many people do you talk to that you would have never thought would mention Microsoft Teams?
Yeah.
And you hear it all over the place, and the amount of times you hear Zoom and everything.
And we're on Zoom at the moment, which has now become a noun, isn't it? It's a thing now, Zoom, like Hoover or whatever.
I had some shares in people like Peloton and things like that as well, who've done, I think, extremely well. So,
wow.
It's really just taken off, I think. I think they're saying now that out there in technology news, you've got about what was 3 or 4 years of digital transformation done in 6 months.
Yeah,
and they just say when there's a need to, it shows that it can be done. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a very good point as well, Matt, though, you know, because I've been involved in corporates and stuff like that over the years, at different kind of levels. And quite often we've had discussions about remote work and working from home, and as you're probably aware, I own a hot desking space, so it's an issue that I'm kind of heavily involved in. And you talk to corporates in the past, and they'd all go, nah, well, the technology's not good enough, really, and you know, productivity will go down the pan and stuff like that. It's been proved completely wrong. So far, all the data that I've seen of everybody that's moved to a home working environment, productivity's gone up, costs have gone down, and the technology, for the most part, has worked.
Yeah, I think the work from home one's an interesting one. I think early on we saw a lot of people saying that it wasn't really, that it was going to change the way that we work forever. And I think as restrictions started to lift in, was it June, July, we actually noticed a lot of people going back to the office.
Yeah.
I think probably breaks from kids running around the house, amongst other things. But I think there's certainly a lot more balance now. I'd say a lot of people are doing maybe 2-3 days in the office and then a couple of days from home, I think. So
yeah, absolutely. And I agree 100%. That's exactly the pattern I see. I see that, you know, you're not going to send everybody to work at home forever. There's going to be this hybrid flexibility issue. And I see that a three-level thing myself, and I'd be interested on your views on this. I think people will work from home or some place that they're happy, a beach or something, on a few days a week. They might attend a community space or a corporate meeting space on an ad hoc basis, and then they may be going to a corporate office once or twice during a month. Have you got any views on that?
Yeah, I think probably the training aspect, I think, is always one of the main reasons you need to go into the office. And certainly running a service desk, what we found was that the collaboration between staff became quite difficult remotely.
Right.
We utilize, obviously, Teams a lot, and they did jump on a lot of Teams call, but it just takes a lot longer to get done.
Yeah.
So I think particularly our team enjoyed coming back and working together on problems. I think maybe in larger corporates, you might find that kind of work from home is a little bit easier because in a large corporate, you're usually part of a small team anyway, rather than the whole organization. I think probably the smaller the business gets, maybe the little bit more difficult it gets.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And I think it depends what business you're in, really.
Of course, there's always that, you know. I mean, if you work in a manufacturing business, working from home's not too useful. No, you're absolutely right. But it's interesting, and I come back to the point you made, which I think is a very valid point, is how this has been concatenated. The uptake of technology has been shoveled into a very small space. And I guess we're still learning, and we're still looking at how things work. I don't know if you came across this, but one of the other elements of this that I saw in this is a lot of smaller businesses that had fought shy of technology adoption were forced to adopt technology. And I'm thinking even at the most basic level that I did some work with the Federation of Small Business back last year, in which we found that something like 70% of small businesses had no digital presence at all. You know, so no website or no social media, no Facebook pages for their business. And I guess a lot of those smaller businesses were absolutely forced into doing something digital when they were locked down and locked out of their premises.
Yeah, I think it's like you've got the reports from things like Shopify and things like that, and the amount of stores that they said they helped set up from February, March onwards.
Yeah.
The numbers were huge. It's like in the hundreds of thousands, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one of the things about running a business is always about adapting to the challenges that are presented.
Yeah.
And it's all too easy to sit there and blame reasons that your business isn't doing well, but the ones that thrive are really the ones that are adapting.
Absolutely.
And I think that's gone to show significantly. I mean, how many pubs and things have you seen that are now serving food online and takeaway and alcohol as takeaway as well?
Yeah.
And it's, you have seen that a lot of adaptation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've talked to people that have said to me, either we won't go back to the old model, or we will go back, but we'll continue to also do what we were doing because it worked. So, you know, I think you might find some pubs and restaurants, although once they're allowed to, will reopen again, but they might still continue to do takeaways as well because they found it a reasonable model.
Yeah, I mean, takeaway alcohol probably would have been a dream at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
never thought that was going to happen. So,
yeah.
So for that to spring up, that was quite funny. So
yeah, absolutely. You've gone through this rebrand. You've now got a name that's and a brand that's conducive with where you are as a business now in late 2020. What are your plans for the future, Matt? Where do you see yourself going with this? Is there a particular direction you're heading in?
Yeah, one of the main areas that we are starting to do a bit more of particularly is public sector work. That was part of the reason for our branding, just trying to have a bit more professional image.
Right.
But also pushing our kind of US business a bit more. And again, that was a big part of the reason for the branding as well, because in the US, there's probably quite a bit more superstitions, I would say, and having VU attached to your name doesn't necessarily help.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons that we went for rebrand.
Okay, that's interesting. And again, I mean, it's a really salient point. And there are loads of instances of very big corporations that have named things in that don't really translate very well when you're into other markets. So it's a good point that you make about thinking about the markets that you're trying to enter. You mentioned United States and Germany. Have you plans to open in any other countries at the moment?
So we've done initial exploratory kind of tours and things in particularly China, which proved a lot more difficult than we thought it might be. So at the moment, we're not going there, but certainly Australia and Singapore are options that we're looking at as well, just to kind of complete our global reach as such, really, because we're kind of pretty well set up across Europe and the US, but just kind of need those other couple of locations to finish our setup, really.
Right.
But particularly Australia is quite a appealing one to us, just because some of the technology is a bit further behind. So it kind of allows us to get into that market a little bit earlier. So just working out other challenges like distance and time to get there. So
I don't know much about the Australian market. It's a big country. It's a big continent with not a huge amount of people. It tends to be clustered in big urban areas. What's the infrastructure like there in terms of broadband and telecoms?
It's improved a lot over recent years. It's still definitely behind. I think it was maybe about 5-6 years ago now. I think they lost one of their kind of subsea fibres, and I think the country came to quite a kind of crawl until that was repaired. And I think since then it's kind of really taken off. But it's still definitely lagged behind places like the UK and US in particular, I think.
Sure. Okay. We're kind of coming to the end of the interview, Matt, and as always, it's really interesting to talk to you. If you wouldn't mind, I'm just interested in your view on the actual rebranding exercise you went through and how you found that process.
Yeah, I think when you start out with a rebrand, it seems like quite a simple exercise. You pick your name, you create your logo, you pick your colour scheme, and you're done. Yeah. And I think when you're starting out a company, it really is that simple. Right. When you're trying to rebrand a company that you've kind of had for 15 years on one brand, finding every place that brand exists takes quite a long time. And updating logos, the colour schemes, contact details, you kind of get the bulk of it nailed down pretty quickly, but I think because it's been about 3 weeks now, and we're still finding a few places the old brand incident and updating. And it's just that there's a lot to change that you don't think, but I actually quite enjoyed the process, I would say.
Okay, right. And as a business, did you sit down with everybody in the business and go, right, let's come up with ideas, or did you go, no, this is what we're going to do, is everybody on board?
So when we started the process, we kind of had a select few kind of people in the company that we said, well, this is what we're thinking about doing. Mm. And they actually had their say in what we were going to do as a branding, because we've kind of been associated with blue and reds for years. And I very much saw our rebranding was going to be that. And they came to me with an entirely different color palette. And I looked at it and I thought, I'm not sure about this. But actually, when they started to show me some results of logos and color schemes, took to it straight away. So having those other people involved, I think, was really crucial in giving us a much better result at the end.
Yeah. And was this something that you did yourself in-house, or did you work with a brand manager?
We did a lot of it in-house ourselves, but then we have a PR agency that helped to do some of our press releases, and we also used a digital marketing company that helped us just make sure we got the rebranding of the website done correctly. So, but I think kept it all local. So they're all kind of Kent businesses that we've worked with and helped us do a really good job. So the results we've had from working with both of them have actually made the branding quite successful.
Fantastic. Matt, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time to join us on the Business Bunker show today. If people want to find out about Vinters, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me again. Really enjoy it myself. So if they go to vinters.com, that's our main company website. We've got some great new kind of about us pages on there as well that give you kind of a full information on our history, where we've been and where we're heading as well.
Fantastic. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Keep on keeping on, and we wish you much success in the future.
That's great. Thank you.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show. That was fantastic Matt Parkinson, who's the chief executive of the newly branded Vinters, the IT support and services company. Brilliant interview. It's lovely to catch up with Matt and hear about what they were doing.
It's always exciting to get some good news and positive news, isn't it? And people striving to change. I love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was interesting how they went through the actual rebranding exercise as well, which was good stuff. So thank you to Matt for joining us. And we've still got tweets coming in. Apparently, we made somebody laugh as well.
Oh.
I don't know how we managed that.
That's a first. Well, it might have been wind, mightn't it?
It could have been, yeah. Tracy Ann Barker has been on. Happy Tuesday and happy Business Bunker Day with Vanilla Webb and Jill Serkin. Thank you for all you do for us, especially at this time. We would love a shout-out, please. Recently opened bookings for our next Essential Management Skills course. The tickets are on sale with an early bird offer. And in order to do that, let me see if I can get the link up, because you need to go to their website, which is tabarkerassociates.co.uk. So that's tabarkerassociates.co.uk, and get your early bird tickets for Essential Management Skills Program. You had a few goes at sending a happy birthday tweet this morning to Mrs. Reeves, didn't you?
Yeah, that... it kept... Oh, well, it's that predictive text, Paul.
I know, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
It is, but if you turn it off, you miss it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the trouble. I mean, have you ever tried turning yours off?
Yeah, I have, and then my spelling was even worse.
I still sound muffled, by the way.
Yeah, so do me, I don't know.
I think I've got a little sock on my thing. Oh, I've just turned myself up, that's fine.
Yeah.
Tracy Ferguson, did you read that out? I wasn't concentrating, I was tweeting.
No, I haven't.
She says, so this is at Tazy64. She's the owner of the fabulous Plucky World.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yes, a great business story. I remember Matt's last interview. So many businesses using this opportunity to reflect, rethink and rebrand.
Yep.
Myself included. Ooh, could there be an announcement?
Tracy, we need to get you on the show. Yeah. Talk about this.
Could there be another Plucky, another Plucky thing?
We've had a tweet for a shout out from the lovely Kim Stevens, Care in Kent. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. We certainly will, Kim, and congratulations and huge, huge respect to all of those key workers caring for people out in the community there.
And did I tell you, did I announce that Rockfit with Sarah said, loving Alice Cooper? Can't remember what I did.
No.
It's menopause, you know. I can't really remember much anymore. Loving Alice Cooper and the rock and snake combo, haha, sums me and Venom Tech up well too.
Mm.
And she's also, I've suggested that you go along in a little pink tutu once lockdown two is over and do some Rockfit with Sarah.
Mm.
I'll come and film it.
I got a message, right? I got a message. I kept it, and I don't know where it is. I'll show you later. I took a photograph of the message. I'm followed on Twitter by the Freds.
Who are the Freds?
Right, said Fred.
Okay. Yeah, the real ones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Richard and Fred Fairbairns.
Yeah,
yeah. And when you posted a picture of me in the tutu a week or so ago, somebody asked to see it, so I retweeted it, and they tweeted me, "You're too sexy for your tutu."
Love that.
Yeah, I've got a copy. I'll show it to you later. Yeah.
You'll have to play that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm too sexy. It's a good song,
Chips and Dinks, our internet was down first thing this morning. Oh, sorry to hear that. But it's back on air now. Oh, I'm pleased to hear that. So we're listening to the Business Bunker Show. Fantastic afternoon, Jules and Paul. So thank you to Bev and Tony, Chips and Dinks. I'm glad you're listening in.
I am. I'm very glad that they've got their internet back as well. It's kind of like having your arm chopped off.
It is nowadays, isn't it? You can't live without your internet.
As I had the Wheel of Death the other day. It was really annoying. Tenterton Twilight, the Tenterton TWCC on the Twitter, Commercial Quick Cleaning, and FM. What's FM?
What's Facilities Management.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was radio. I thought she's cleaning and she's broadcasting at the same time.
Yeah.
I thought it was clever. She says, my tweets are my own and my prices are fair. And you can also find her on Tenterton Lose as well.
Yeah.
So hello to you.
Yeah. So we haven't managed to have a kebab in the toilets in Tenterton for a while.
No, we haven't. I was drinking rather a lot on Saturday night when I was out.
You?
In.
No.
Yeah, I had quite a lot.
When you were in out?
Yeah. And I finished off with a little, little passion fruit cocktail.
Right.
So I woke up the next day feeling a tad, you know, just a bit tired sort of thing. And doesn't it make you want to eat carbs? It really does, you know. So Chris Hyde, again, chirping up, saying, wish it could be Christmas every day. Lots happening on the Twitter. Ibiza Fitness Food chirped up as well and said Do you feel healthy and prepared for winter, Business Bunker? And we deliver all through the UK and also in Ibiza. And are you healthy and motivated for winter? You can sign up for a trial box, absolutely no sign in. So, in other words, you can just try it and you don't have to continue.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Natalie at Whitcomb HR. She says, doesn't Tuesday come around quickly every week?
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, it's Business Bunker Day and we're listening in. Well, thank you, Natalie, and the team at Whitcomb HR. Thank you so much. Glad you could join us. It does come around very quickly. I seem to be finishing off last week's show and starting next week.
I know. Well, I'm still trying to book my SCOF people. I've had three phone calls and they're so busy trying to do deliveries. They're up in Scotland.
Right.
And, you know, suddenly it's Tuesday and I'm not there. I need to sort it out tomorrow, really.
I saw a tweet earlier from the lovely
Anne Reid,
Gemma Fairclough Haynes. Yeah, here it is. Just finished an interview on KMTV about furlough and the rising unemployment. Good. We'll catch that up later. I'm on the telly tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
Which telly?
KMTV.
Okay. And what are you talking about?
I have no idea because they haven't sent me the brief yet.
Jobs in Kent?
No. No, I don't know. They just said, would you come on? And I went, yeah.
It'd be
and
nice
said,
to know, wouldn't
they
it?
They said, we'll tell you what it's all about before you come on. Well, they haven't got long to
Nothing
tell me.
Like prep, is it?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing a Bloomberg conference, which is today, for Bloomberg, put it together. And we should have been in Singapore now doing
right,
it.
Right, okay.
Here we are. I haven't even bothered to do it. And my new husband's doing it all, listening to it all online. It's not the same.
No.
Not the same. Even if you have your little rooms and your pretend cocktails, it's just not the same.
Yeah, so you can't recreate raffles in your front room, can you?
You can't. And that humidity, I mean, I keep putting the oven on, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Anne Reid, who's the PA portal, hello to you. And she says, I think one of the positives of COVID has been the speed that people have adopted digital routes to market for their business. And I've been working virtually and in the cloud for years as a virtual PA. So, so she's up to scratch. You can find her at the PA portal. Yeah. And she's also a runner-up mumpreneur.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well done,
Lots
Anne.
Lots of awards she's won.
Well, funnily enough, Anne is one of the storytellers on the podcast that we're going to hear about in the second half of the show when we talk to Lisa and Isla.
And is Lisa out of hospital?
I think she's at home on some pretty heavy drugs because she has badly hurt herself.
Yeah,
so
she's got a little leg up, no doubt. She's elevating.
Mm.
She must be.
I've had a tweet from Chris Hyde, Camgenics. Excellent story. Great to hear Matt Parkinson from Vinters, the journey from service to cloud to managed services and beyond on the Business Bunker show. Yep, thank you, Chris. And I think you read Tracy's tweet out, didn't you?
Kent Theatre has been given a £3 million cash boost, which bosses say saves it from the threat of permanent closure amid the coronavirus pandemic. And the government has announced today that the Marlow Theatre, which is in Canterbury, will receive £2.99 million as part of its second round of Culture Recovery Fund grants.
Fantastic.
So well done. A good little theatre. There's that and the Gulbenkian. So I love the Gulbenkian and I've seen quite a few bands there.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be nice to be able to go back to some live events at some time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we're live.
We are live.
We are Paul Andrews and I are at a live event.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
As live as it gets.
We've got no audience in here.
No, and we're sitting very apart. We don't hug. We don't touch anymore. We used to, you know, have a little hug, didn't we? But now we don't.
I thought you weren't going to mention it.
No, don't go near you now.
Yeah.
And you know, when I make your tea, I'm very careful how I touch the handle.
Yeah, yeah. She brought my cup in holding the cup with a tissue.
Yeah, and then I have to.
And it sprayed me with some stuff.
I'm going to start spraying you with tea tree oil because you've got a child at school, so you're kind of high risk, whereas I'm like a hermit. I don't go anywhere.
Is that right?
Me, my new husband and my mother.
Yeah.
It's just it.
Good. So you go out, in, out.
So I'm going to spray you with some tea tree oil next week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That'll
Would you
work.
Like that?
Yeah. The Kent and Medway Business Summit will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January 2021 with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and a strategy for a return to growth. hosted annually at the University of Kent by the Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors, and located in Kent, the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and latest developments in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. To register or find out more, if you go to kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. That's Kent Hospitality. kent.ac.uk/register, or go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/summit, and you can find all the details and the registration link there. In fact, Rebecca Smith, who is organising the event on behalf of the Kent Business School, will be a guest on next week's Business Bunker show, so we'll find out a lot more about it all next week.
Rockfit with Sarah's perked up again, and she's listening in, and she says, me and a few friends were rocking our funky stuff with Right Said Fred when they played Ramsgate Music Hall venue a few years back. I've just saw you're near the Little Ships with my friend Chef Craig Mather, and they're doing very, very nice takeaways at the moment. I recommend the cauliflower sort of Moroccan-y one.
Well, is this nice. The baked yogurt?
This is, no, the baked yogurt is at the ship in
the ship at Konya. Yeah, I've got that.
But they do a very nice roasted cauliflower with Ras El Hanout, Ras El Hanout. It's a Moroccan spice. I've gone all Moroccan now. I'm like Moroccan.
What is it?
Ras El Hanout.
And what is it like?
I can make it. It's a mixture of spices, darling.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he does a really nice roasted cauliflower, just a whole cauliflower. Mm. Absolutely gorgeous with tahini on top and stuff.
Mm. What was that Moroccan restaurant we used to do in Whitstable by the bridge?
Alimo.
Alimo, yeah. Are they still there?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Gone. And but I'm still friends with them. So if you want a little Moroccan, I can sort that out for you with Mo.
Do you know, we've got two new restaurants opening in Tenterton. Two new ones.
Okay.
Hoof Tenterton, which is a burger bistro bar, and a cantina bistro place.
Okay, sounds good. So it's cantina, is that Mexican?
Well, I'm not sure at the moment. It could just be
a canteen.
No. They just spelt it wrong.
They
just started work on it. But the other one, they've actually got the sign up so I could see what it was.
Okay, are you going to try them out?
Well, when they're open, and you're allowed out.
Do a little review.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Whitstable, I have to say, in lockdown two, last weekend, I walked down with my dog and my new husband, and it was heaving, absolute heaving. And the police were there in the little panda car taking photographs of the queues at the various small stores selling oysters and things.
Right.
And I just thought it was horrible for the police because I don't think they want to be doing that job, really. I mean, crowd management, isn't it? But
yeah.
not a nice job.
Do you know what
was heaving?
What we're going to